So today on To At The Movies, we have a great opportunity to interview both Sasha and Lord David Puntman about Sasha's new album, Spirit of the Cinema, which is a tribute to memorable film scores that have influenced his life from an early age. So first of all, I can say for our audience that this has to be the first time in close to 340 plus episodes of At The Movies that this is the first time that we interview someone onto the music behind the movies, which is what, when doing this radio show, was my original intention of the show. So thank you to the both of you for allowing us to do this interview with you guys today. And I'm going to open up inside of some general questions. So whenever you guys feel like you want to chime in, you can definitely chime in. So first of all, with all the thank yous, I guess that the first question will be for Sasha, and maybe you can describe the process of selecting tracks for the album that have influenced your love for the movies and for music.
Certainly. Well, and Remy, I think after 300 episodes, it's about time we really focused on the music. These are movies that I grew up with. And fortunately, I had the kind of dad who would include my sister and I in everything. So we were always taken to the film sets where, Remy, actually the key was just to be quiet, not to knock anything over. So we learned that skill very early. And actually, these are the films that it's my life has followed all of these films. So in a way, it's a personal journey. As much as I love doing this to honor my dad, who's been so great to us all our lives, it's also a personal journey for me. It's interesting that, I started out in rock and roll, really following dad's early movies. And then suddenly, actually, around the time he was making Meeting Venus, I then went into serious classical music. All along this journey, Remy, David will tell you himself, music was a soundtrack to our lives always. I think before we had a farthing to spend, everything went on records. And I remember actually one of my first jobs, which was being a runner for a photographic studio. At the end of the week, they gave me £10, and I would spend £9 on the album from the record store next door. So we've always lived our lives that £9 is for music. £1 is to try and eat for the rest of the week. So, I mean, that's how much the music means to me. And listen, I have the greatest privilege now of making my living from music.
Yeah, I think Sasha's exactly right. It is soundtrack of our lives. That's a very nice way of putting it.
So the soundtrack for your lives that have notably been influenced by many notable composers. So who are some of the influences when you think about musical composers, both inside of your music and both Lord David, with the films?
I go right back to my very first memory of being different, if this makes sense, is I was doing my homework. It was a Sunday at home, and we used to have a program called Two-Way Family Favorites, a radio program, which was the forces sending requests home from Germany, actually. And I remember the woman, her name was Jean Metcalf. This was so amazing. And she said, I've got a request here for someone who sounds as though he's singing from the bottom of a well. But his name is Elvis Presley, and he's singing Heartbreak Hotel. And I heard Heartbreak Hotel, and my life changed. Because suddenly, I was listening to music that was not my parents' music. I was suddenly not listening to Frank Sinatra or Bing Crosby or Perry Como. Well, not actually, Perry Como wasn't around at the time. And that was fantastic. And, if I were doing it as a movie, what I'd say is I put my pen down and thought to myself, what am I doing? I hate this, I hate this subject. I'm not very good at it. This is whatever that is, that's what I want. So, thank you, Elvis. You literally broke me free.
And music has that power, Remy, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. I mean, films do the same thing, but you've got to get to the cinema. The music, you're passing by a radio and bang, it touches you. That's the power of music.
Yep. Most, Most definitely. And probably the power for music for me comes inside of my next question to you, Sasha, because probably the most notable covers inside the spirit of cinema would be the Chariots of Fire, the main theme, and Gabriel's Oboe from The Mission, which both have some sort of a spiritual connection inside of the music that you can feel throughout those tracks. And what I like the most about these tracks is how you make it your own with also staying true to the original composers, to the music as well, too.
Remy, that's wonderfully kind. I mean, my Elvis moment, my aha moment, was Tubular Bells, was Jean-Michel Jarre and Vangelis. When I heard the synthesizer, I thought, that's the future. That's me. And fortunately, you know, I was taken along to Vangelis' studio. People were so generous all the time. I mean, I guess it was because my dad was always very generous to them as well. They went over backwards to let me be in the studio, let me obviously not break things, but play with these incredibly expensive synthesizers at the time, and just fueled my love to learn and keep learning and one day own a synthesizer myself. And dad was very kind of strong about, you know, you got to get a job, I had to find £350 to buy this Moog Prodigy. And I remember it took forever. And I think he spotted me the 50 at the end. I think I got to £300. He spotted me the 50 as we went to Rod Argent's. And then I lived on the synthesizer. You know, I absolutely made it my own. The interesting part, I guess, was turning my back on that and then getting classically trained. Because I started to play with musicians and I could see there was another level. There was another level of just incredible performance, composition, and I wanted to go there. And that's when I started my journey through Berklee, which I've got to tell you was wonderful. And thank God I got in there via Quincy Jones and a few other people helped me along the way. And then suddenly over to Moscow. And I just hit Moscow at the perfect moment, where I could really absorb the old and got really into Stravinsky, Prokofiev, and all these wonderful people who actually, what's so strange, who obviously influenced Mike Oldfield and Vangelis and all these other people. So it's a wonderful musical circle.
All right. And normally we like to end our interviews with a couple of fun questions. So here's my first general fun question to you both. So if you can cover... do any covers of work for any film composer, who would you like to work with and why?
Wow. Well, I've been so incredibly lucky because I was able basically to work with most of the people I've worked with. I'd be very interested to work with Hans Zimmer. I think he has something special, but I also think philosophically he has something special. What I learned out of working with Morricone is it isn't just about composition. It's also about intelligence and understanding why you're doing what you're doing. And I think Zimmer has that. I may be wrong. I've never met him, but I suspect he has that.
Well, Remy, I'd love to spin that around. I mean, for me, being a composer, I would think of the directors that I would like to work with. So someone like a Sam Mendes would be fantastic. You know, there's a lot of the newer composers. I love to, a lot of directors. I love to, oh, the wonderful Zhao, Chloe Zhao. Absolutely wonderful, deep feeling, wonderful films. I do a lot of research into old movies. So one of the things I've been looking at recently is The Best Years of Our Lives. And really seeing how incredibly, how William Wyler, would shoot a scene that literally nothing. His photographer would be saying, why on earth is this guy sitting in a bomber doing absolutely nothing? And allowing the composer to imbue that with all of the meaning and then put in the nightmare of him reliving being in the Second World War. That kind of confidence of a director to say, you know what, it's okay, it's all going to be in the eyes, not a lot needs to happen because the music is going to tell the story. And Remy, if I can just use one more story here, which is in The Killing Fields, there's an incredible moment. It was the first time Nessun Dorma was used. And Bruce Robinson's script had asked for Sam Waterston, the Sidney Schamberg, to turn down that music as he moves to listen to the Nixon speech. And someone decided to try it the other way and just turn the music up. And Nessun Dorma says everything you need to say about a man's guilt, about leaving this person who saved his life a million miles away. And it's a perfect example of that music will say a thousand times what words can ever say.
And the really fascinating thing, Remy, is that the decision was a mistake. The guy made a mistake and put the music up when he was supposed to turn it down. And at the time said, don't worry, I'll put it right. And we all looked at it and said, don't touch it.
I would put Nessun Dorma and turn it up to about 100 if I could. That is such a beautiful piece of music.
Absolutely.
From Pavarotti, yes.
And in a way, Remy, you know, I just feel like music needs to come back in a big way. I think we're being undersold right now.
Exactly.
I switch on Netflix, everything sounds the same. I always say to my directors, what is the theme as you go and get your award? What is the theme they play that everyone in the audience goes, oh, I remember that movie. That was a great movie. That's the job of a composer.
It's become so much easier, I feel, because of technology and how you can create beats, but it's all about going back to the roots. And I think that that's what's perfect about your album, Sasha. And I'll just remind our audience that Spirit of the Cinema is available to listen to wherever you get your music. And I want to thank you guys both for taking the time, both Lord David and Sasha, for this wonderful, wonderful interview. Thank you, guys.
Remy, thank you so much for having us. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Have a good one.